This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, where we answer your questions. What's next, Layla?
We have an email from Julie. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. My son is at his wit's end. I've listened to you for a long time, and I thought you may have an idea or two. Long story short, Julie's son had a tick bite, which he was given doxycycline for 21 days. That took care of the problem. Then he came down with strep throat, and his doctor gave him amoxicillin.
Stop. So right there, it's the immunosuppressive effects of antibiotics.
Yeah.
Antibiotics can be immunosuppressive.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is another reason to withhold antibiotics. But, mm-hmm. you know, tick bite, okay. Do you always have to give antibiotics after a tick bite? No.
No. Although many doctors do
prophylactically.
Yeah. And then after all of those rounds of antibiotics, he came down with tinea versicolor, or yeast infection.
A yeast infection, which is further immunosuppressive. Yeast
right.
suppresses the immune system, and you've got a vicious
right.
cycle going. So now we have a vicious cycle.
Yeah, now we've got the real problem. Since that time, he has come down with unending mouth ulcers, skin lesions that resemble boils. They're on his tongue, lips, cheeks, gums, throat, on his jawline, on his armpits, and his groin.
Completely immunosuppressed. He can't fight off anything. And the
he's negative for Lyme, by the way.
He's running out of antibiotics that work because they're you shot your wad on antibiotics.
He's 32 years old. He's 6 feet tall, weighs 152, and he works for an organic maple syrup farm.
Whoa, that is a very interesting correlation because that's like mainlining sugar.
Yeah,
and he doesn't ever taste that maple syrup.
Or it doesn't,
sugar.
You know. Get on him or his skin or anything, or maybe there's some kind of allergy working here too, but
the question for you is how many people can work at an organic maple syrup farm and not partake of organic maple syrup?
Honestly, wow.
I just don't know anything about his diet. I don't know what his consumption of sugar is. You know, look, this is very complicated, and I don't want to minimize it, but we've got to take a look at this guy's diet.
Totally.
The clue is his occupation.
Yeah. And now he has sore joints.
Okay, so he's
lost weight.
Now developing some chronic inflammatory, infectious kind of
which is concerning
meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, this is the kind of person we would see in consultation.
Absolutely.
And I'm not pitching for this person necessarily to come to our center, but a functional medicine doctor could help to begin to unravel it with diet.
Yeah.
With some sort of natural immune support, something to boost immunity so that he can actually begin to fight this off because antibiotics do not seem to be working. His microbiome is decimated by all the antibiotics. He has candida or yeast problems. He needs to get antifungal therapy because that's, you know, really suppressing his immune response.
Yeah.
This is how, I mean, we look. We're not going to solve this problem with this answer, but it is illustrative of how people go down the tubes.
Yes.
And this is generic, this kind of situation where people start off, you know, little infection, you know, leads to another thing, another sort of slippery slope to a complete...
And these are the antecedents to that complete so-called meltdown or that snowball effect. Julie is in Canton, Illinois. Julie, if you go to... the website acam.org, acam.org, you can find a good integrative medicine, functional medicine doctor for your son. I'm assuming your son is in the same
area.
Or
these days, IFM.
IFM.
Or the American College of Nutrition, ACM.
Because there are good resources where you could find a suitable physician in your area of the country.
Yeah.
For your son, that would be appropriate for
your
son.
But, you know, start with a really impeccable diet at the very least.
Yeah.
And possibly probiotics and, you know, certainly check out vitamin D, which is something that actually helps. I can predict this guy has very low levels of vitamin D, maybe low levels of zinc, you know, things that impact immunity. These are things we would test for.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, Julie. Best of luck to your son. All right, start there.
We have to pause because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with our listeners. And so here goes. Listen up.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to Layla, our nutritionist.
Okay, we have an email from Edward. Dr. Hoffman, my calf has been twitching for one solid week.
Calf.
And I mean all the time, almost all the time. I have no pain.
Well, go out in the barn and just give it a kick and it'll be fine.
Yeah, kick that calf. I have no pain, but it is annoying. I can't think of any event that might have caused it. I'm a 65-year-old man of normal weight. My blood work was all normal, magnesium, potassium, calcium. Any idea what caused it, and how long will this last?
Well, it could be due to a nutritional deficiency. It could also be due to a pinched nerve. You know, that pinched nerves can sometimes cause muscles to fasciculate or twitch.
Okay.
Especially as you get older. This gentleman's a little older, and typically, you know, there may be some compression of the spine on a nerve to the leg that's causing the calf to twitch. That's not uncommon.
Yeah.
That could be addressed through chiropractic. I mean, it is possible that even with normal levels of magnesium, potassium, and so on, that more magnesium will suppress the twitch. You know, it's not fail-safe. It's not
And normal available. On a lab test for magnesium is not a true picture because it's typically a red blood cell magnesium, which is not as great as, say, the blood test you used to do, Dr. Hoffman.
Yep.
The ionized magnesium, calcium, and all that.
Which is sort of a
which is harder
test,
to get.
Not that available. The other thing is, look, it's so common, it's an isolated thing. I wouldn't go nuts on it, but if other parts of the body begin to twitch, you have like a multiple, you know, areas of muscle twitching, see a neurologist because sometimes this can be a harbinger of some neurological disease. But, you know, from what it sounds like, it's not, you know, we don't have to pull the ripcord and see the neurologist yet. It's just, you know, an ordinary facet, bothersome facet of life that probably will resolve itself.
Edward, thank you for your question. Hope that twitching stops.
This kind of reminds me of the book that I did a very nice interview with a couple of Columbia University doctors who wrote a book called Am I Dying?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they had a chapter on a muscle twitch.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you look that stuff up on, Google.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you could just go nuts on all these, you know, horrendous progressive neuromuscular disorders that this can be a portent of.
What do they call that? Cyberchondria?
Cyberchondria,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Oh my goodness.
I mean, it is what it is until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Which is a nuisance-y thing.
Nuisance kind of thing. We have an email from Cheryl. Dear Dr. Hoffman, what is your opinion of the new shingles vaccine, Shingrix? I'm 63. My doctor wants me to go get it. But I'm putting it off because my friends that have gotten it had bad to severe side effects that lasted for days. But I'm told that the side effects in comparison to getting shingles is not as so bad.
This is fairly typical, is when Shingrix was introduced as a successor to the previous vaccine, Zostavax, which wasn't very effective. And I didn't really recommend that people take Zostavax. I said, well, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. You know, it's not bad to take it, but it's not that effective. The very people who need it, who are immunosuppressed and older, who get the worst cases of shingles and post-herpetic neuralgia, are the ones least likely to respond. They could have as low as a 30-40% response rate or lower. With the new vaccine is different. It's more potent. It seems to work better, even in elderly immunosuppressed people. It confers more protection, like 80-90% protection.
That's good news.
And what they said was virtually no side effects. And I said, great, sounds good, but I'm going to wait until I actually see what happens when it's unleashed upon the populace.
Yeah.
And now we're getting reports that the side effects are kind of bothersome.
Yeah.
But there's more in the way of bothersome side effects rather than devastating side effects. People aren't, you know, developing Guillain-Barré syndrome. Oof. They're not becoming paralyzed. They're not becoming debilitated. It's just they feel flu-like. Like after a shot, you know, your immune system gets activated.
A flu shot and you feel like you have the flu. Yeah. I've heard that often enough.
They feel achy, their shoulders hurt, they were under the weather for, you know, 2, 3, 4 days.
Yeah.
And then the immunity takes over. So should it be done routinely? Well, you know, I'm a case in point. I'm 66 years old and I'm a candidate for it. I haven't taken it. Why? I mean, I have this belief in sort of natural support for immunity, you know, with the supplements I take, with the lifestyle I follow, with the diet that I eat, the sleep that I get, the exercise that I do. And so I haven't taken this artificial immune booster, even though I've had chickenpox, and I am a candidate for getting zoster. Am I against people getting it routinely? No, I don't discourage patients from getting it. I don't think that what her friends report is a contraindication to getting it.
Yeah.
But, you know, is it a mandatory thing for everyone over 60 to get? I'm not convinced.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, certain people, I think, one thought is if you're about to get chemotherapy or if you're about to get an immunosuppressive medication, maybe that's, a good thing to do because...
Do you get more herpes outbreaks when you're immunosuppressed way?
Yeah. You know, I might recommend to somebody about to get chemo that they should get it as a preventive.
All right. You have weighed in, Dr. Hoffman.
Yeah.
Cheryl, thank you.
A lot of questions about this.
But
I will say from the standpoint of efficacy, this does seem to work. And Zostavax is done.
It's done. It's over for that.
It's rendered obsolete by Shingrix.
Wow. That's good. That's good news on the vaccine.
The other thing about Zostavax is that it's a live vaccine, which means at least theoretically somebody who's very immunosuppressed could actually get an outbreak of shingles from it. This one is attenuated. It's in effect, dead vaccine.
Yeah.
Composed of components of the virus that can't reactivate.
Okay. We have an email from Bo. Hi, Layla and Dr. Hoffman. My dad is 76 years old and he's had Parkinson's for 13 years. He's held it at bay pretty well, healthy lifestyle and all of that. He's a former age grouper, triathlete, marathoner. He's slowly getting worse, although he still rides his wind trainer. And he's going.
That's great for Parkinson's.
That is great, yeah. He's going back to...
Stationary bike is especially good for
Parkinson's. Stationary bike, okay.
Because Parkinson's is about difficulty initiating movement. But there's something about the bicycle that, you know, sort of encourages you to remain in motion because of the momentum that you create with the pedaling. And it just allows you to continue motion like straight ahead. Whereas if you're walking, you know, you could freeze. But the bicycle sort of impels you forward.
Less tendency to freeze from that. He's about to get a whole bunch of blood tests, and I know they only run the typical blood tests, but there may be some important levels of something they may not check.
I would look at D, I would look at DHEA, I would look at testosterone. There's evidence that testosterone can ameliorate the symptoms of Parkinson's for some men. And DHEA is in that family that can be helpful. And certainly D levels are associated with prognosis in Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. You know, I might look at glutathione levels.
Yeah.
That's an esoteric test, hard to get sometimes. But
he's also taking antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds since this diagnosis. So
doesn't help.
But yeah, it doesn't help. But his lifestyle has been pretty healthy, which is very good news.
He has muscle reserve, which is good.
Yeah.
The latest thing is NAC.
NAC.
Which is builds glutathione. And even
right.
in one study recently, they slowed progression of Parkinson's with NAC orally, 500 twice daily, with a once-a-week infusion of NAC.
Wow.
IV.
That's promising. Another thing, Bo, for your father, you want to make sure he's taking lots and lots and lots. Did I say lots? Of CoQ10 and ubiquinol, both.
Do you mean a lot?
Both. A lot. Yes. CoQ10 and ubiquinol, right?
Also consider nicotinamide riboside, all of that. It's about mitochondrial support. NT factor, you know, to the extent that it can help with mitochondrial function.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. All of those things would be what to look for. Bo, thank you for your question.
And, you know, I'll tell
good
you this.
To your dad.
This is a little bit, you know, esoteric, but I'm now doing genetic testing.
Yeah.
And we look at glutathione pathways, and there are many genes that govern glutathione pathways. And today I'm going to talk to a woman who has got some very unusual genes for glutathione peroxidase, which is very important in recycling glutathione in the body. Only 3% of the population have that.
Wow.
And she has a variety of medical problems that may be related to her inability to provide her body with
Essential
internal
detox.
Yeah, detox. Also, the ability to detoxify mercury is associated with that.
Glutathione, the master antioxidant for that.
Yep.
Okay.
But these are people who are much more susceptible to chemicals because their bodies don't break down xenobiotics.
Yeah, yeah. We have an email from Daniel. The results of my last two blood tests showed a B12 of over 1,500, whereas before that it was about 1,300, and my last folate test was greater than 24.
No problem.
And,
In short.
December, my ferritin was 291, and then
that's
after that it was 209. Oh, so that's good.
It's getting better. You know,
it's
here's an interesting thing, is ferritin is a measure of iron.
Yeah.
So you'd figure, like, well, how do you...
It's also a marker of inflammation.
Thank you. It's because we see patients who we put on a program and we say, go give some blood because you're iron overloaded.
Yeah.
And they come back and they go, oh, great, that you must have given blood. Your ferritin's so much better. And they go, oh, I never did that. It's like ferritin is a marker of inflammation in this case.
Yeah.
And it'll come back into a more normal range.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... therefore, an entirely reliable marker for iron.
Yeah.
We're also testing people genetically these days for the gene that causes hemochromatosis.
Yes.
That can be done too. Mm-hmm. And those are great candidates for giving blood.
Right, right. So Daniel is concerned about these high B12 and folate levels, but he doesn't need to be concerned.
And his doctor said, what are you doing? You're taking too much of those vitamins. No, that's not how that works.
Right. We like to see B12 levels higher than lower.
They don't have to be in the stratosphere, but if you're using B12 or folate therapeutically, you're going to see high levels.
Right, right. So Daniel says, last fall I started a vigorous exercise program of lifting and HIIT, high intensity interval training, with vitamin supplementation. That's good.
Good.
You'd stick to your program. Is this for me taking too much, or is this high because of something else? Some kind of...
Well,
I can't think of any...
No, I'll tell you what there is one. Is that bacterial overgrowth is sometimes associated with high folate.
Really?
When you see that in people who don't take a lot of folate, it's proliferation of certain bacteria that synthesize folate.
Okay.
It's sometimes a marker for that.
Yeah. Since Daniel is taking vitamins...
Like SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth.
Yeah. Daniel, it's about your supplements, your supplements should be fine, and...
It's problem solved. It's a non-problem. I like to solve problems by solving by saying, it's not a problem.
Yeah. And by the way, Daniel wanted us to know that he's 71 years old.
And he's doing HIIT? Good for him.
He's 5'9 and 165 pounds.
So
that's very good.
He's doing like the battle ropes. That's HIIT. you know, high intensity.
High intensity.
You ever do the battle ropes? There's those ropes that you go like up and down, you know. So
heavy.
My trainer sometimes says, okay, do them up and down. Mm-hmm. Now do them sideways. Now do them to the other side. 2 minutes apiece. That's only 8 minutes of exercise. But you are absolutely gassed.
Wow.
You know, you're covered with sweat. Your heart rate is like 160.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, oh my God.
Wow.
But it's, it is very good. Mm. And it's sort of a concentrative exercise.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Time for one more question.
That's one more. Let's see. From Tom. Dr. Hoffman, I'm a 69-year-old male, 6'4". 190 pounds, active, non-smoker, non-drinker, non-restrictive diet, and recently diagnosed with mild hypertension, and I'm being treated with 10 milligrams of lisinopril daily.
Okay, not a biggie.
I have a family history of Alzheimer's, my mother, and heart disease, my father. Being on a fixed income, Social Security only, could you recommend a supplement regime to address potential health issues?
Well, you know, we could go, like, very, very fancy with that. You could say, well, you know, and this is something that I'm doing with some patients now. Again, the genetic testing might reveal, do you have the Alzheimer's gene? Are you really prone to that? Also, we do genetic testing for which blood pressure medication is most likely to work for you.
Right.
That's fascinating because sometimes the doctors just throw darts at the dartboard, which is, you
and know, say, let's try
what
this.
I used to do. And we would go through, this one works and this one doesn't work, and, you know, good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually see whether genetically you're more likely to respond to one or another blood pressure medication. And there's so many different options.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so this one wants a simple program. So take fish oil, take vitamin D, take magnesium.
Tom,
take
you
kyolic
say...
Take aged garlic extract.
Yeah, Tom is on a non-restrictive diet. He needs to be on a more restrictive diet.
Save money that way, too.
Exactly. That's the best way to save money.
Right.
Is you need to change your diet to eat for this family history of... Right. Both Alzheimer's and cardiovascular disease, that may warrant a lower carb diet to start.
Yep.
Start there. That will also, if you lose a few pounds, 5 to 7% of your weight, that
then
mild hypertension may go away.
Right. And hypertension is a risk factor for cognitive decline.
Yes.
So whether you take medications, you can somewhat attenuate that risk.
Right.
But, you know, look, the simplest thing is you got no money.
Hmm.
You don't can't
He's
buy
on
a lot
a fixed
of
income. Right.
You can't buy a lot of supplements. What you can control, diet and exercise.
Yes.
And it's tougher to do that rather than take some pills, but it's the cheapest thing in the world.
It's the cheapest thing in the world, and it's something you can 100% control. Isn't that the best news?
Yeah. You can really be off the economic grid and control that.
Right.
Now, I will say that, you know, buying arugula and buying fresh avocados and buying... You know, high-quality olive oil and meat. I mean, let's face it, that is expensive, but there are some workarounds there.
There are lots of workarounds.
It doesn't have to be organic. It can be, you know...
Exactly. Look for the, you know, the dirty dozen, the clean 15 vegetables
and the packaged foods. They're usually more expensive anyway.
Buy things that are on sale. Eat seasonally. There are loads of things you can do.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
During med school, I actually went out into the community. I was... my med school was in the Bronx, Albert Einstein, and our job was to teach people on fixed income how to eat healthy.
Hmm.
And the community was very receptive to that, you know, because I was already into nutrition then. It was like, you know, here's your, you know, $50. This is how all the things you can get for a family of four and stretch your food bills. And, you know.
That was a long time ago. $50 for a family of four now would be tough.
We'll get through a week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
at the time, right. So, anyway, Tom, that's the place to start.
Absolutely.
Changing
all right, and
your
listen,
diet.
And what's also inexpensive is listen to Intelligent Medicine. Go to DearHoppa.com, download the podcast. It's free.
It's free.
And you'll get a free education. It'll motivate you, too, to stick to your program. All right, we got to go. So, thanks, folks, for listening.
Yes, and do send your questions.
Enjoy your summer, and we'll be back again next week if we're not paralyzed by jellyfish stings or...
August.
Yep.
Here we go.
Summer hazards, you know, debilitated by sunburn.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Uh-huh.
Okay, enough banter. We're done. Thank you, Layla.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.